Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're finishing our sermon series on forgiveness. We've talked about the power of forgiveness to change people's lives. The two hardest words to say, I'm sorry. The price Jesus paid on the cross so that all our sins could be forgiven. And we talked about the parable of the compassionate father last week and how our Father in heaven loves to forgive us, his children. Today we're talking about a tough subject, forgiving difficult people. Now most of us want to forgive others, but there might be a specific person or people we have a hard time forgiving. You know, people can be really selfish sometimes. People can really do some hurtful and harmful things. And no doubt there have been people who have hurt you, some of them perhaps really badly. Sure, we might want to forgive people, but it's really hard. And it sometimes feels impossible to forgive certain people. Now, we've all been there, and I would agree, by ourselves, we can't do this on our own. There are some people we can't forgive, but we are not on our own. God is with us. God promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And God promises to help you. He's ready and eager to help you forgive the same way he forgives us. So let me share with you four things God wants us to remember when it comes to forgiving the sins of difficult people. First thing, number one, we are all difficult people. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The first thing we need to remember when it comes to forgiving difficult people is this. We're all difficult people. Yes, people can be selfish. They can do hurtful and harmful things, and so can we. We have. And that's what we're confessing when we get together every week and say we've sinned against God and others in our thoughts and our words and in our deeds. Romans 3:23 is such a great verse. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love that verse because it's so inclusive. The Bible doesn't say this group of people sinned or that group of people sinned. It says all of us have sinned, each and every one of us. It doesn't say 60% or 90% or 99% of people have sinned. 100% of people have sinned. That's you, me, and everybody else. We're all in the same boat. Sin is something that 100% of people do. Therefore, forgiveness is something 100% of people need. So next time you think it's really difficult or hard to get along with other people, take a look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of God's law, and look at the mirror at home, and remind yourself that you and I are sinners just like that person. Not better, not worse, just different. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number two, pray for help. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Second of all, when it comes to forgiving people, we don't have to do it alone. God can and will help us if we ask. God loves to forgive sins, and he loves it when we imitate him and forgive other people's sins. We ask for God's help through prayer. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your enemy, love your neighbor, and hate your enemy. In the book of Leviticus, God tells us to love our neighbor, but it doesn't say anywhere in God's word to hate our enemy. But that's how many people interpreted it at the time of Jesus, that it was okay to you should love the people who love you back, but hate your enemies. But Jesus sets them straight. He says, we should not only love our neighbor, but also love our enemies as well. Jesus wants us to love people who don't like us. But by loving people, he doesn't mean try really hard to generate nice feelings about them inside your heart. Jesus gives us a very practical way to love people. He says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. When you don't know what to do or where to begin, when something seems overwhelming, prayer is a really great place to start. If you're upset with someone or angry at someone or feel hurt by someone, don't try to change your feelings. Just start praying for them, whether you feel like it or not. Pray that God helps them. Pray that God blesses them. If you know they have a certain need, you can pray for that. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things, and more importantly, it changes us from the inside out. Jesus doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. He doesn't just talk about prayer, he actually did it. And he did it for his enemies, especially when he was being crucified. When he was being crucified, while the soldiers were pounding those giant railroad spikes into his hands and feet, what was Jesus doing? He was praying for them. Not praying that God would strike them down. No, his prayer was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. That's what forgiveness looks like. When we are having a difficult time forgiving, we need to remember certain things. First of all, remember we are all difficult people. Second of all, ask for help. Pray for God's help. Third of all, remember that God is good. Number three, God is good. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph had to deal with a really difficult situation. Talk about difficult people. Let's talk about Joseph's brothers. His brothers, his older brothers, who should have loved and protected their younger brother, they ended up doing just the opposite. Instead of loving and protecting Joseph, they were envious of him and hated him. They hated him so much they wanted to kill him, but decided to sell him into slavery to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver instead. Because of the hatred of his brothers, Joseph became a slave in Egypt. He was then framed for a crime he did not commit. Altogether, he was a slave or a prisoner for a total of 13 years. Through God's grace, Joseph was released from prison and became second in command in all of Egypt. When there was a great worldwide famine, Egypt was saved because God had used Joseph to help the people of Egypt prepare. During the 7 years of famine, only one place had food, and that was Egypt. His brothers came before Joseph, not knowing who he was, and asked for food. Now this is Joseph's big chance. 13 years of slavery in prison, being separated from his beloved father for 22 years, all because of his brothers, and now Joseph has all the power, and he can do whatever he wants to his brothers, and no one can stop him. At his word, he could have them thrown in prison, he could sell them into slavery, he could just have them killed. Joseph could have done any of those things to his evil brothers who had hurt him, who had sold him into slavery, and had then deceived his father and hurt him so badly. But Joseph doesn't. Joseph chooses forgiveness. When their father dies, the brothers think, uh-oh, now we are going to get it. But Joseph has truly forgiven his brothers with the forgiveness that can only come from God. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." First, Joseph asks, "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph doesn't want to play God. It's not his job to judge people for their sins. No, it's his job to offer God's forgiveness to sinners, just like it's our job to offer that same forgiveness to sinners. And then he explains to his brothers why he forgives them. He says, "You meant to do evil, but God meant it for good, the saving of many lives." You see, God is good, and God can even take the worst things in this world and use them for good purposes. And that's what the cross is all about. It is the greatest act of injustice in all of history, but it's also the greatest act of love and compassion in all of history. In some ways, it's the ultimate evil, the Son of God crucified on a cross, but it's also the greatest good. It's rightly called Good Friday, because for us, through God's incredible mercy, he takes something that is evil and turns it into a blessing for all of us, the good and beautiful gift of the forgiveness of sins. God is good. Never forget that. Joseph didn't. He said, "You meant to do evil, but God meant it for good, the saving of many lives." When we're having a difficult time forgiving, we need to remember certain things. First of all, remember, we're all difficult people. Second of all, ask for help and pray for God's help. Third of all, remember that God is good. And fourth, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. This is what the Lord asks us to do. Forgive the same way he forgives us. Now remember, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a gift. No one deserves forgiveness. It is something we have the privilege of giving to others. God gives it to us free of charge. We have the privilege of giving it away to other people. Now in Mark chapter 10, Jesus describes what he was willing to go through in order that we might receive this precious gift called forgiveness of sins. Mark 10:33 and 34. Jesus said, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him." That's the price of forgiveness. Jesus paid it, so we don't have to. He ends the section by saying, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus gives us the greatest gift in history, forgiveness of sins at the cost of his own life. Forgiveness cost him everything, but it costs us nothing. Jesus already paid the price. And this is what Christianity is all about, being like Jesus. We serve because he first served us. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. We love because he first loved us. And we forgive because he first forgave us. God is good. God is gracious. God is merciful and compassionate. He loves to forgive our sins and does so time and time again without fail. And he loves it when we, acting like him, forgive others the same way he forgives us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.